Welcome back. This is Clay Radio 1180 AM, and we are joined with our good friend and legend, Bill Ogden.
Heavy,
Bill,
good to, heavy on the legend there.
Good to have you back after struggling a little bit last week.
Yeah, I got a little of that, whatever it is that's going around, I got it.
It's tough. You know, this is not a high-profit operation here, and I had to give Bill, not only give him last Friday off, but with it was a day off with his normal pay.
And it was good, and I appreciate that. Your generosity did not go without that being noticed.
He received his full normal paycheck.
So anyway, what you got there on tap,
Bill? I want to share.
Michael?
I'm glad you're here because done a little bit of everything you read nowadays. I mentioned this earlier with our friend Eric, that people's reaction to things is a little different these days, and there seems to be conspiracy theories everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it all runs together. You know, you read about fake news. You know, in my day, we used to call it lying, but they have better.
Yeah.
Now they call it inaccurate.
That's right.
But
fake news, I love
fake
it.
Fake news and everything. So I just wanted to go through a little bit. I want to get your reaction because using your wisdom and experience.
I like that. Okay.
And I mentioned earlier that 38% of all Florida citizens, according to this one poll, feel strongly that Ted Cruz might be the Zodiac Killer.
I didn't know that.
And some of these, I smile, I laugh, and then I think, I bet 38% of the people in Florida don't even know who the Zodiac Killer is.
Most of them would know who Ted Cruz is, however.
But they all know who Ted Cruz is, right. And they equate one with the other, I guess.
There you go.
The United States is a strongly conspiratorial society. Do you believe that?
Yeah, I think I might.
Everybody kind of believes something.
Yeah.
These are all hard for me to believe, the numbers. Half of all Americans believe some sort of conspiracy theory having to do with 9/11. All right. And we all hear them. That the government is concealing information about the 9/11 attack.
Yeah, I think, you know what, first of all you have to do is think about the internet and the way we get our so-called news, whether
so-called
it's fake.
Information, right.
Yeah. That's changed everything. But I go back, you and I have a few years under our belt, but I go back to conversations with my parents and aunts and uncles and stuff, and I remember back in the 50s and the 60s, and the government, they know more than they tell, you know.
That's right.
So conspiracy theories are nothing new.
And the UFO stuff was, of course, you're right, the communication on the UFO stuff was confined to those rags at the checkout line at the grocery store.
Absolutely,
but,
right.
You know, Site 51 or whatever
there,
it was
there
down,
you go.
New Mexico. 40% believe the government is hiding information about aliens, the Kennedy assassination, and global warming. See, now that's a little softer. You got to read between the lines. 40% believe the government is hiding information. I expect 70% believe the government's hiding information about everything.
Yeah, I think so. And that conspiracy, the Kennedy assassination, that conspiracy has been around since he was assassinated.
So this, the lead author, this guy is a sociologist at Chapman University in California. We found clear evidence the United States is a strongly conspiratorial society. We see a degree of paranoia in the responses. Most indicative is nearly one-third of respondents believe the government is concealing information about the Dakota crash. I don't even know what that is, frankly.
I don't either.
Findings are based on survey. They apparently surveyed 1,500 people ages 18 and over, and they took place. And this went over a couple of years. But anyway, results show a solid majority of people who not only believe the conspiracies involved in 9/11 attacks, but they also held conspiracy theories about President Obama's birth certificate.
Of course.
The origination of the AIDS virus.
Of course.
And nearly a fourth found something suspicious about the death of Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia.
Yeah.
Recently.
Scalia. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So here, I'm going to pepper these at you, Bill.
Oh, okay. I'm ready.
The government is concealing what they know about 9/11 attacks, 54%.
And my response is should that be surprising or not?
No. Kennedy assassination, 50%.
Not surprising.
Okay. Alien encounters, 43%.
I don't think that's surprising.
I think there are people like me who think, 43% of our elected officials are aliens.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Global warming, 42%.
Yeah. Yeah. I would think it might even be a little higher.
Now, here's some of my favorites.
Okay.
Plans for a one-world government, 33%.
Okay.
I don't know why people believe that. I mean, I really don't. We can't even come up with a one-country government, for God's sake.
Seem to be having trouble getting toward that, yes.
That's right. Obama's birth certificate, 30%. Origin of the AIDS virus, 30%, which is very tragic, but I'm interested to hear what kind of conspiracy. The moon landing, 24%.
And what about the moon landing?
24% believe there's some sort of conspiracy there.
Okay. Okay. That it was staged, maybe.
Yeah, again, I think 24% of people go, really? We landed on the moon?
Yeah, when did that happen?
You know, people who believe conspiracy theories tended to be more pessimistic, less trusting of people they know, and more likely to do things like buying a gun out of fear.
Uh-oh.
Now, this is a little contentious, so we're not going to spend too much time on it. Excuse me.
I think you're getting what I had.
I hope not.
I'll give you a cough drop
there. Based on the survey results, the person likeliest to have a conspiratorial mindset is a white, employed Republican with lower income who is affiliated with a Christian denomination but doesn't attend religious services very often. All right.
Well, that was that.
I don't know about all that. But.
Well, we're glad you did the research on that. I think conspiracy theories are always interesting. They're kind of fun to talk about and to read about and that kind of thing. But you know, and if you want to believe them, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, like I say, they've been around for as long as I can remember.
And
nothing
I think
new.
You hit the key word for me personally is they can be kind of fun.
Yeah.
They can't. It's like a lot of things that we talk about and visit about. There's kind of a line on one side that's kind of almost enjoyable, interesting, and fun, but relatively harmless. And then you can take things to the other side of the line, and they become less harmless.
Yes,
like
yeah.
The guy who says, "Therefore, I'm going to get a gun I'm going to do this."
Yeah,
and
then that takes it to the next level.
More than one way. Now the last thing I'm going to share with you,
okay,
and I really need your participation here,
okay,
is words.
What kind of words?
Words that are considered very annoying.
Annoying words. Okay, now we got
something.
Whatever.
All right. Verbalized or accompanied by a shrug of the shoulders. This particular writer really tees off on the word whatever.
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 Whatever. I can't tell
whatever
you.
Whatever is the most annoying word of the year just ending, according to this guy. Yes, it's both a question and a statement.
Yeah. If you want to take
you
that
can
to
just
a,
say whatever.
Yeah. If you want to take that to a whole different level, my tributes go out to all public school teachers. When you're in a high school class and you do something and you say, and they go, whatever, Mr. O, whatever. Yeah, no. And that's just kind of a,
he maintains whatever is intellectually dishonest. Whatever is an admission that the light is on, but nobody's at home.
I like that.
Whatever is everything and anything and nothing.
I wish I'd known that back when I was teaching school. That would have been good.
Whatever suggests the result doesn't matter, that though something, right or wrong, might be at stake, something just or unjust, true or false, as long as it doesn't affect me, then, well, whatever.
There you go.
I think this guy's on to something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it means anything. It might just be whatever. But
any other words there that made the annoy-o-meter?
This is interesting. So he goes on to least favorite English words around the world. He's got them listed by country.
Okay.
The one word everybody hates. Are you ready for this?
Okay, what is it?
Moist.
Moist?
Yeah.
I never would have yeah. thought that. What? How so?
Certain words drive some people crazy, a phenomenon experts call word aversion. But one word appears to rise above all others, and that word is moist. Professor in psychology at Oberlin College said of moist, quote, it's not a taboo word, it's not profanity, but it elicits this very visceral disgust reaction. I don't get that at all.
Yeah, I don't
you
even know
get
how you...
any of that?
No, not at all. And how do you use, I mean, in what context?
He doesn't even get it. When asked to react to moist in a free association task, this is losing me.
Yeah.
It's making almost.
I can't imagine what it might be doing to our audience here, right?
One third of the people responded with an expression of disgust.
Hmm. That is surprising.
Moist.
Yeah.
Everybody, the thousands, tens of thousands of listeners right now. In this segment,
well,
a lot of people join us for
yeah,
the Bill Ogden
segment. At least your wife and my wife.
They're out there and use the word moist. At least once today. Have a discussion with your neighbors and friends.
And you can thank us for this later, folks. Yeah.
Now, in India, the least favorite English word, number one, is love.
No. All
yeah.
right. Well, it's good. Good thing that bumper music means we're going away for a moment.
The Doobies are telling us to make room for the news. Mike Franco, along with Bill Ogden. This is Clay Radio 1180 AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is the last segment of Franco Friday with our good friend Bill Ogden joining us.
The last. That
last
sounds so.
Of this year. Of this,
this year. That's right.
That's
okay.
Right. We'll be back next Friday. And every Friday after that, my friend Bill sends me little texts usually during the week saying, hey, we on Friday? And I always say, yes, Bill, we're always.
Well, I never quite know.
He never knows. He's thinking, well, you never know.
My, you know, my, I don't have
lottery
a.
Lottery and headed south.
There you go. So there you go. So a lot of things going on. First of all, let me ask you this real quick. Do you get into the, a lot of people do, some people don't, the New Year's resolutions? Have you made a New Year's resolution?
I have not.
Yeah.
And
have you ever?
Yeah, and
have you kept it? Did you keep it?
No, and that's why I don't make them anymore. Because if I was interested, I could just recycle the ones from 30 years ago.
And they're still valid today,
now,
right?
Actually, I did when it came to those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
The thing I'm proudest of, looking back, and
okay.
it was 30 years ago, is I used to be a heavy smoker.
Uh huh.
And I quit smoking, and I never picked up. It was 10 years before I even smoked a cigar. So. That was one good resolution.
That was a good one. Yeah.
And it's a big one.
That's huge.
The best thing you can do for yourself.
Huge.
In that line.
Yeah. Well, good for you. That's
and all
good.
The other stuff like be a better husband.
Yeah.
Lose weight. Be more pleasant. I mean, even some easy stuff. I haven't done very well.
Yeah, I haven't either. And I think most people don't. And I think most people, you know, there's all kinds of psychologists and, you know, self-help people that will tell you, well, here, if you're going to do this, this is the way to do it. And, you know, you'll have the best chance of success. But I think most people, the losing weight thing is a very difficult one, especially, you know, you say, okay, I think it's always a great excuse for, like, on, you know, the holidays, you can kind of pick out, okay, but, you know, I've got a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 10 pounds and so on. And then you never do. It's tough to do. So, hey, I just wondered, I knew our vast listening audience would want to know if
I think
if Mike Franco,
a lot of them have wanted to know. You know, I'm one resolution I will make is to try to be better at this, but
that,
I don't.
I don't always strive for perfection. That's all you can do.
Actually, I'm striving to reach a level of tolerance.
There you go. Well, you're doing good. I like you know, I think what people have to know is that Michael, but prior to, you know, taking this little show over and taking this on, you were a business executive. You had basically no experience, and I think, you know, it's easy as a listener, I think, to listen to people on the radio and say, well, you know, anybody could do that, well, you know, so on. It's not that easy. And so I think you've done a great job, and I applaud your efforts. You're doing good. You could learn to handle the knobs a little more.
Hey, that's a challenge.
Let's move on.
What's going on? Let's talk about what's
Well,
going
first
on.
Of all, one of the first things I want to mention, and this is a this has been a great tradition for, I don't know, maybe 20, maybe even 30 years, and it's first night in downtown Tacoma. And that's a great event.
So what goes on at first night? I've read about it. I've never participated.
You know, I haven't either, but I followed it, and of course the local media does a good job. But it's not free. It's going to cost you $10 online, or it's going to cost you $14, and you can buy buy tickets at multiple places, some of the businesses around there. And where it takes place is downtown in the theater district. Okay.
Okay.
And it gets underway about 5 o'clock or so, and it carries on. They call it the world's shortest parade. They have a little short parade that kind of goes down one of the main streets there, Pacific Avenue, and one of the roads. And then they've got, this year they've got a circus. They've got, you get, with that admission, by the way, you get admission to the art museums and all of that. So it's a really...
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a really good thing, and it's well organized, and it's family friendly. It's in downtown Tacoma's Broadway Theater District from South 7th and 11th Street. You're going to, Buttons will give you free admission to Tacoma Art Museum and the Children's Museum. There's the free skate rental at the Polar Plaza.
The Polar Plaza,
yeah,
good,
and that's
good,
a great
good.
Thing. And easy to get there. Tacoma Dome Station open for parking. Light rail running through 1 o'clock.
That's cool.
And so they've got all kinds of different things, and they've got circus and more circus. They've got, I like this one. Let me just run this one because this is one of the featured acts. Filthy Femcores. That sounds naughty, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
But it's not. It's Seattle Rock Orchestra, Edna Vasquez from brass and rock and Latin American. This first night has something for just about anyone.
Cool, cool.
Anyway, it's a great thing.
That's fine. You can park down by the dome. Your kids like riding the little rail up there.
And you know, first night activities go on around the country. I think they have a big one in Boston, and they may have one in Minnesota, I think, as well. But anyway... This is ours, and it's a good place to go, and it's a good thing to go, too. So let's do that. What do you have on your list?
I think everybody knows about this.
Uh huh.
It's at Point Defiance Marina.
Uh huh.
Waterfront Drive in Tacoma tomorrow at 11:30. No, this might be Sunday. You need to check. It might be Sunday. The Polar Bear Plunge.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Who? In their right mind, and people do this everywhere.
Right.
I read some data, just so I'm going to share this with you. There's a similar, several of them up in the Seattle area that's down here. This particular one is out at Point Defiance. Just so you know, they give you, they say, bring a warm towel. Are you crazy? The water temperature in Lake Washington is 47 degrees.
Okay.
The water temperature out here in the Sound is 47 degrees. I don't get it, but
okay.
Anyway, it's there.
I knew you were going to bring this up, and I did a little research on it, and the article I came up with had a title of "How to Survive a Polar Bear Plunge," and in parentheses, and why you shouldn't do one.
Oh, good.
And it sounds like a profoundly dumb idea, right? Well, to some people it doesn't, obviously, because it attracts hundreds of people. Middle of winter, you obviously strip down to your bathing suit and then take that running leap into the ice-cold water. Well, it turns out it could be dangerous or even deadly to you. And here's a couple of ways that you can a couple of things you can do to kind of make it not quite so so bad for your body. Human body doesn't exactly take well to freezing water, you see.
Yeah.
So as soon as you enter the water or you go into something called cold shock, which is an involuntary response, meaning that you have no control over it. Duh. All right.
Not good when you're in the water.
It causes you to inhale a giant gasping breath. And so it is incredibly dangerous since you have no control over how and when it happens. And sometimes it could actually occur when you're, you know, you take the dive in and it could be underwater. Anyway, you can make this not quite so bad by actually, they say, practicing.
Oh, so jump into
You do this a few days before,
water.
You know, you go down.
Here's my favorite little promotional line about this.
Okay.
And it's in this little press release. And this is all good fun, but I think it's nuts. I think this crosses that line right. from the polar bear plunge. A is free.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I don't have to pay to do this.
Right.
That's nice.
Right.
And this is my favorite. It takes place rain or shine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It's raining. Don't. No, it's canceled. You know, this reminds me. A guy pointed this out. He said, you know, it's like when you see films of Evel Knievel when he's going to jump the Grand
right.
Canyon on a
motorcycle. And you wonder why.
And they have an ambulance parked there. And he said, what's the ambulance for? Yeah. You know, maybe a hearse from a funeral home, but you don't need an ambulance.
Evel was not known for his intellect, but
anyway,
he was a colorful
guy. That's the polar bear plunge.
Yeah. There are.
My suggestion, by the way,
yeah.
if I had any interest at all, I would bundle up, I'd take myself something really warm to drink, and I would go out there and watch people.
I think that's good.
And I think to really enjoy it, you'd have to be a little bit mean and kind of rejoice in the pain and anguish. Everybody pretends that it doesn't bother them. But anyway, 11:30 tomorrow, or I think this is Sunday, I'm sorry, on the 1st.
Right.
Polar Bear Plunge out at Point Defiance, Waterfront Drive. have at it. That's yours.
There you go. Hey, good. I trust that we can assume you're not going to be there.
Wait, I won't be there. No. Yeah. Just so everybody, Emerald Queen Casino, along with almost every party environment you can think of, has a big New Year's Eve bash set, and you can easily get online, check all that stuff out. One thing that is going on that's kind of fun. Is there's an oldies band called the Great Pretenders who are playing Tacoma Elks, and that's New Year's Eve at 8 o'clock. And those are fun to go to. We used to go quite often and have dancing.
And
they're
a great group. Yeah, they used to play at the place called the Furwood Tavern out in Puyallup. And so they've been around for a long time.
And so
that's good fun. Incidentally, you mentioned the Emerald Queen, and the headliner there for New Year's is Tommy James and the Shondells.
Correct.
So it's a
they're somewhere
fun.
Where it's actually I'm sure there's some cover and so on, but I read that it was free.
No, I don't know
which
that.
Which is hard for me to believe. Get online. You can get all the info you need through them. But, Tommy James.
Yeah,
huh? That's fun.
There you go. So they've got to pull out that suitor cocktail dress, get gussied up for a night on the town, the creative black tie New Year's party at the Museum of Glass or on Dock Street. You can spend the night in style with top premium bars. There will be a DJ playing top 40 hip-hop and I don't even know what mashup music is. My age is showing.
I don't know what that is either.
But if you're into mashup music, they've got it there for you.
That is an opportunity to go enjoy bringing the new year in a little more of a, if not formal, pretty formal type environment. People are going to be dressed up, and that's always fun.
And then there's like you and I were talking earlier, what are you doing? And you said, well, we're going to hunker down, maybe have a nice dinner at home and watch a little TV, and that's maybe
that's about it. There's a like I say, there's all sorts of things going on. I would encourage you. We're going to have Craig back on next week again from the Tacoma News Tribune.
We talked
earlier about economically being able to get into skiing with you and your family and some tricks to try to save money on lift tickets, equipment, and so on. Now he'll be coming back, and I feel like ratting him out. He's not here because he's down hiking around in
Arizona. One of the great guys.
In Arizona enjoying the weather. So he'll be back with us next Friday. He's going to talk about getting outdoors, enjoying the outdoors, doing things besides skiing that you can enjoy even though it's miserable.
All right. Well, if anybody knows about it, he does, and you can read all of his columns.
Bill,
and
I want to thank you for joining us. And, I look forward to you next Friday. Wish everybody a happy new year.
Yep, happy new year, everybody. Be safe. Enjoy.
Be not only safe, be not stupid, okay?
I like it.
Be not stupid.
All right, have a great weekend and a happy new year, everybody.